Okay. I've really gotten, I love our next guest and what they do. Idhan Tarajan, welcome back to WGN. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, John. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're from Build a Biz. Remind everyone what it is that you guys do.
Yeah, we're a student-led financial literacy nonprofit that teaches students in the greater Chicago area and around the world about basic financial literacy skills.
And you teach a lot of students, right? I mean, what are the numbers at this summer?
So this summer, we're actually hitting 1,100 kids.
1,100 kids.
Yeah.
A lot of them in our area, some on the East Coast, I believe, and some in Africa too, right?
Yeah.
Where did you start this? What was the inspiration?
So we actually started this with friends that were 2 years older than us. And so we all got together and we realized that coming from immigrant households, that a lot of us, we didn't talk about money in our houses. And from an area that's actually heavily populated by immigrants, we realized this is a pretty common problem. And our schools don't teach us financial literacy skills until we get to high school, where you get the option to take a personal financial literacy class.
And not every high school has that.
Not all of them have it. And even then, like, most kids just end up taking some like very watered down version of Consumer Ec.
I learned how to write a check.
Oh,
I mean, there was 2002, but we didn't use many checks after that anyways.
So let me tell you, I still haven't taken a business class in high school, which, because it's optional.
Right.
And I have not learned how to do any of that in school.
Right.
So that just goes to show you, like, if you choose not to take a business class, you might be screwed.
Right, exactly. You got to have an education and seek an education on your own elsewhere. And Build a Biz does that. So we've tasked you every 6 weeks or so to come in here and help us teach a lesson to maybe our kids, our grandkids, some of our listeners, or just if you are a young adult, something to pay attention to. And today we're going to talk money mistakes that young adults make. Oh boy, I could give you a litany from my late teenage, early 20s, including signing up for a credit card at college for a Frisbee. Wasn't a good start. But where do you want to start? Do you want to start with credit card debt? I mean, that's a pretty big mistake.
That's actually right where I wanted to start. So the thing about credit cards is that everybody wants a credit card when they're finally out of the house. But you need to know, A, what credit card is the right credit card for you, and B, how to avoid credit card debt. So I guess the biggest problem with young Americans is that when they get a credit card, they love to be big spenders and they take on credit card debt and they think it's okay to get away with the minimum monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're young and you're not making a lot of money, that's not usually the correct move. And also, people always go for the flashy cards. Oh, I want an Amex Plat or I want an Amex Gold. They want the nice cards. But a lot of times, you need to look for the card that actually benefits you. So there's a lot of great beginner cards, but I think young Americans don't like to look at the very new. There's a lot of nuanced factors that you should be considering when you get a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And most important of that is you should not be taking on any significant debt. Credit card debt is one of the hugest debt factors in Americans' lives right now.
So how do you teach that lesson to the 1,100 students that are maybe of that age or getting to that age? Is it about showing them like how many monthly payments the minimum takes? Like, are you graphically showing them just how much debt they accumulate by not paying it all off? I mean, how do you get through to people? Because it is a flashy thing to have a card. And, ooh, my credit limit's $5,000. I'm going to go spend four of it right now. I'll pay it off eventually. What lessons and things get through to people that we can then take to our kids and grandkids?
So I think a lot of it also depends on how old the kids are, right? So when the kids are younger, you want to kind of teach them the distinction between what is a debit card, what is a credit card, and what's the use case for these. So with the younger kids, we like to tell them, a credit card, you're not spending your money. Like, you don't have that money in your bank account versus debit card, you're spending your own money. And for them, like, you know, when they're 8, 9, that's enough. But especially for the older kids, and when we teach through the course that we developed.
High school kids.
Yeah, high school kids who are, you know, going off to college soon. We teach the distinction between how to look for a card that benefits you.
Mm-hmm.
So do they have any annual fees? Do they have low annual fees? What are the benefits? Like, if there are cards that are very heavy on spending and giving you like travel points when you're young, do you really need that?
Right.
Probably not.
Cash back, maybe more so.
You want to focus on things like cash back or like cash back on like even like everyday purchases, like going to the gas station, these kinds of things. And then also... Sorry, I actually wrote this down. There's a lot of like smaller cards that will give you, not only are they easy approval, but the banks will report your good spending habits to credit bureaus.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look out for those, because then those can unlock higher tier cards for you in the future if you're a safe spender.
Okay. Do you also like try to say, look, I know that you could pay less than the full payment each month, but you really shouldn't have a credit card unless you are making the payment in full every single month?
For sure. That is definitely one thing we emphasize. In fact, one thing we try to tell teens is that, you know, if you're 16, 17, and you can, you should definitely ask your parents to open up a credit card for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know that when you're living with your parents, you're not going to be making any crazy purchases on the credit card, but that's a great way to build your credit.
That's a great point. So don't be afraid of credit cards.
Oh, for sure.
And parents, don't be afraid to give your kids a credit card. As long as it's utilized in the same way, it could actually be a huge benefit to their credit score.
100%.
Okay, lifestyle inflation. That's another point you wanted to talk about. What is that?
So this, actually, I brought that up to you because I just spent the last weekend in San Francisco.
Mm.
If you know anything about San Francisco, full of these young guys in tech,
mm-hmm.
and they're making a ton of money. And you talk to a lot of these guys, and they don't know what to do with all this money. And so they're spending like crazy,
mm.
especially, I mean, SF is a huge, expensive city. But the number one thing that you should be doing when your income increases is your savings need to be increasing too.
So if you get that first job out of college and you're yeah. doing okay, all of a sudden you're getting cash in the mail, or well, the mail, direct deposit. Don't let your lifestyle creep up to that amount.
Do not. No. Always live well below your means, first of all. And then we talked about this the last time I was here, 50-30-20 rule, right? 20% of your money should be going to savings. And if you experience a sudden like cash influx due to a new job, you should increase the amount you're putting in savings. It's pretty simple. And I think that, like, you know, when people get internships, young people, especially internships, jobs, they come into this money, like it just gets to their head really quickly and they don't realize that they're spending beyond their means when they should be saving.
Can we start that lesson even earlier? Like my niece is 12 and babysits, and I'm trying to show her like, hey, I'll pay you $20 an hour, but I'm also going to give you 10 if you have opened up a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to like get her to go, well, let's get a checking account. Let's get an IRA. You're not going to see this $10. I'm putting it into your IRA yeah. for you. Is that a good way to get people? If they're earning income, they can do that, right?
I mean, 100%. I think that's a great way to do it. I know some
people. A Roth IRA, I should say, too. Yeah.
Some people will say, oh, you know, like, I don't like infringing on my kids' independence, you know, taking away their money. But I think, especially when kids are younger, putting it away in a very structured way, that they know exactly where their money's going, even if they can't access it immediately. I think that's a great way to teach them about the value of doing these things.
Yeah, I mean, like, she wants Starbucks with it. I know she'll spend it, and she's yeah. 12. Like, she yeah. should spend things on things she likes, but I don't think it's too young to start imparting the idea of, like, well, let's let a little of this grow
definitely.
Somewhere else.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that the kind of segues into what I wanted to talk about next, which is that, and a lot of these workplaces, too, when kids get older, they don't realize that their workplaces will match things like their 401k
mm-hmm.
or, you know, health savings plans, flexible spending plans, these kinds of things. And so, cause they're not used to putting away money for these kinds of things earlier. So starting it at an earlier age can help them when they're older. They have jobs that can actually support them in a pretty significant financial manner.
I mean, those first couple of years of working, if I could impart one knowledge to a 21-year-old, it's to be putting 15-20% of their money into a 401k from the very first day they start. Those first couple years pay off so astronomically in the long run.
Because a lot of times you'll see now, like, 4% matching, up to 4% matching has become like almost the industry norm. So I think that most young Americans aren't taking advantage of this. Like, 4% is pretty huge, no
it's
matter
huge.
How much you're making.
That's free money.
Yeah, it is.
You got to do at least that, if not more that. I always think it's like, hey, if you go too high and have to peel back, that's a good thing to
yeah.
do, because then you at least know what your upper limits are.
Definitely.
I know you want to talk about buy now, pay later. You got, give me 10 seconds on it.
I got you. I mean, the one thing I can tell you about buy now, pay later is do not do it.
Yes, okay.
Do not do it. It's pretty simple.
Yeah, you start doing that to everything, it's like, what are you doing? I saw that on a grocery bill once when I was checking out.
I see that at fast food stores.
Do
not buy now, pay later at McDonald's.
Where can people read more about all that you do at Build-A-Biz?
Buildabiz.org.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on down here.
Thank
I appreciate
you for having
it.
Me, John.
Right. Are you going to go to Lollapalooza after this?
No.
You're right here, though. I mean,
I got work tomorrow.
Oh, you got.
I can't.
There you go. We'll talk in the next month, I hope, okay?
Thank you.